And I find
my name is Adam Borducci. I am a school teacher in the public education system. And this summer, I went on a short-term mission project with ISP to the country of Honduras. And I was able to use my profession and teach teachers how to incorporate the Bible back into the classroom and use it as part of their curriculum. And it was extremely exciting and very beneficial. And the good news, I think, out of the whole trip, one of my teachers came to know the Lord, accepted Christ in their life. And so that is a win. And so it makes it all worthwhile, let alone all the kids and the younger kids, the K-6 kids, are going to be touched with this curriculum by their teachers and learn how to develop morals and have some moral fiber in their society, which is something they're lacking. But the government supports it. They want to put the Bible. They know they need the Bible, so they've put it back in their curriculum. They've welcomed us there with open arms, and that's a great feeling. It was a great time, great experience. I recommend it to anybody. As I've just finished up, or am finishing up with the Perspectives course, I've had to come to terms with short-term missions and where they fit in God's plan, because Perspectives talks a lot about long-term missions and what we're called to do as Christians, and short-term, I believe, fits in there, and I think it's very good to go on a short-term missions project. Not all of us are ready to go and sign up for 3 years in Africa. That's a hard call. There's people that are good at it and can do it. I'm better at short-term missions project with my family here and stuff, and I'm as a professional school teacher anyway. And so, but there's a lot of places to minister, even right here in town. And matter of fact, I've got to share with what I did with my students what I did last summer, which gives me a platform to talk to them about Jesus Christ and all the great things that can happen. So I recommend short-term missions all the way. So if you ever have a chance to go, please do. Take that advantage, because not only will they be changed, but you'll be changed in your own life with what you can learn and grow by.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning, River Lakes. You know, I didn't mention in the first service, but this is a wonderful decorating job that the people have done here. I mean, if you're not in a Christmas mood after this, I'd check your seasons. And thank the group again this morning for great worship. Thank you, guys. It's been awesome so far. It's going to be awesome the rest of the day as well. Well, good morning to you. And I want to say a special good morning. ¿Cómo está? To our Spanish speakers over here, Spanish speaking brothers and sisters. They're going to be translating the whole service. How cool is that? So don't think it's a bunch of kids making noise. They're actually going to be translating. Amen. Good to have you here joining us today. Anyway, let's just, I'll be sharing three short sermonettes from God's words of what I titled Three of the Greatest Things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, and we pray as we get into your word gets into us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. The first thing is I call the greatest commandments, the greatest commandment. And in Matthew 22, verse 30 to 40, if you can go ahead and turn there in your bulletins, your outlines, go and take a look at that, or click on your tablets or whatever, however you do it on your phones nowadays. It's amazing what we can do with technology. But we're going to be looking at that. The first thing is the greatest commandment. And it's interesting who he gave that to. We're going to take a look at the two groups of people that he gave it to, who I believe were the most difficult, unreached people groups ever of that time. And they were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I think we can learn a little bit about ourselves within those two groups. But let's go ahead and start there. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now, I'm going to give you the answers right up front. The first three lines on your worship bulletin, your bulletin or outline, are going to simply write these words. Here we go. The first line is going to be know him, K-N-O-W, him. Second line is going to be know him. And the third line is going to be, can I hear you?
No.
You guys picked it up already. And so you're going to see how this ties in. We'll get to it in a little bit. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, did they really know him? Well, it's a little bit about these guys and why I think this time that Jesus took to explain to them this commandment, I think is so important because it tells us that there's hope for us. Again, these were the two most hardened, unreached people groups that they were, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we're going to see a little bit about them in a second here. Pharisees were more religious than secular. The Sadducees were more secular than religious. The Pharisees represented the common man. The Sadducees represented the elite, the wealthy class. The Pharisees were more popular and democratic. The Sadducees were more unpopular and conservative. The Pharisees were experts in expositing the Jewish law. The Sadducees recognized only the written Torah. The Pharisees interpreted the Torah liberally. The Sadducees interpret the Torah literally. And the Torah is the first five books of Moses. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees believed in no afterlife. And so after 70 AD, when Rome destroyed the temple, the Pharisees were no more. And what continued, what the Sadducees were no more, what continued were the Pharisees. And what's fascinating about this whole group is that Jesus kind of picked this time to talk to these two hardened groups about something that was so instrumental. The crucifixion was about a week away. And so he was winding it down. He was telling these great teachers of the law and these great teachers of prophets and all these, he was telling me, he said, you guys know a lot of stuff. You got the technical stuff, but you're missing me. You're missing the real heart of the law. And I believe he used that to really send these guys hope that they need to turn to who he was. So it's interesting that after the temple was destroyed, because the Sadducees were they were responsible for inside the temple work. The Pharisees were the overseers of the temple and everything that worked within it. After the temple was destroyed, the Sadducees went away. Modern day Judaism that we have today actually grew out of what we call the Pharisees. Now, just one of the last points I want to make between these two guys is that, remember Jesus says an eye for an eye? The Pharisees would look at that statement and say, how much did it cost the perpetrator? Now, the Sadducees would look at that very same statement and say, no, an eyeball is an eyeball. See, they took it absolutely literal. So you can imagine these guys are bumping heads into each other. And it's interesting that Jesus uses these two groups to say, both of you have really missed the intent of the law. And that is who he is and why he is. John the Baptist referred to these groups as a brood of vipers. Can you imagine that? Brood of vipers. Jesus said, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul pitted these groups against each other, and he was a Pharisee himself. And remember, these two groups, these two ruling groups, religious authority groups, make up what was called back then the Sanhedrin, which is comparable to our Supreme Court and our legislative body. So these two groups were fighting within themselves. They were the guys in charge. They were the guys that had all the power then. And it's interesting that Jesus used that to say, if there's hope for these guys, maybe there's hope for our Supreme Court, our legislative bodies today. Maybe there is hope only if we turn to who Jesus is. The greatest commandment is to love God and like it to love people. So as we transition and listen to this song, I want you to really think about this. Adam, the guy in the video, knows his Lord. But let me ask you this. Would we say that the Pharisees knew him? Would we say that the Sadducees knew him? Do we know him?
Hi, my name is Cheryl Levy, and I want to tell you about the short-term missions trip I was on last summer to Beirut, Lebanon. I've been working with the International School Project for over 20 years now. International School Project is part of Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU, as it is known now. I've traveled to many countries, but this one was an exceptional trip, and I want to tell you about it. I want to thank you for praying for me while I was there. You know, Lebanon is called the Switzerland of the Middle East because it's kind of a neutral country. There are Christians and Muslims and radical people living together in pretty much peace. So we went over there to hold a conference for school teachers, and most of the school teachers were Christian school teachers. But God really showed me His big picture in this trip over there. One of the most interesting men I met is a man named Henry Allen. He works for Crew, and his area is the Middle East and Northern Africa. He told us about how he had asked God how he can minister in this area, because around each country there is a wall called Islam that separates these countries from the rest of the world. And as he prayed, he asked God to show him where the cracks in this wall were. He came to realize that ISP, the International School Project, could fit through these cracks in the wall around these countries and enter through the educational process, bringing the gospel through these educational conferences. So he is very excited about what ISP can do in the Middle East. During my time there, I came to realize that there are over 1 million refugees from Syria who are now live in Lebanon. Due to the craziness in Syria, many people have fled to Lebanon for security and peace. Well, the church in Lebanon has reached out to these refugees, and many of them have come to faith in Christ. Some of the churches have started schools and church plants out in the refugee area. And a couple of those teachers were in my workshop this summer. What a joy it was to meet them, to hear their hearts, how they are so thankful for the Lebanese people who shared their lives, their faith, and are helping them start a new life. That's what they had to say about the Lebanese Christians. It was a pleasure to meet them, and it impacted my life as I saw how God was working despite what's going on in the Middle East, despite closed borders, and how He is bringing the gospel to the people all over the Middle East. It was such a blessing to me. So I just want to leave with you information and encouragement about how God is working. I also want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and take a short-term missions trip. You never know how God will work in your life, how He will open your eyes to see what a big God He is, and how He can use you in someone's life.
Amen. The first thing we looked at was the greatest commandment, and Adam shared his heart. And if, for those of you that have not met Adam, Adam knows his Lord. Now we're going to look at the greatest commission, and you just got a chance to hear Cheryl. And Cheryl's a person who serves here, she's been just about everywhere. And she embodies, I believe, what it means to really understand the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is not just about going, it's about training, instruction, and knowing where you're going, knowing how God is going to use you. So the Great Commission in your outline, and as you see the second set of three lines there, I'm going to give you the answers up front. Here we go. Are you ready? The first one on your second set of three lines is grow with Him. And the second line under that is grow with Him. And what do you think the last line is? You guys are, man, there you go. You can see how it is. Let's take a look at Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And this is the greatest commission, I call it. Took another group of people out to a mountain. This is what he says. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to a mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Great Commission. In order to give a commission, you have to have the authority to do it. And what's fascinating about this, Jesus not only gave the commission, he said, I'm going to go with you all the way through it. I'm reminded of RMS Titanic. You guys know the Titanic. Before it set sail, one of the press releases that went out about the boat was very interesting. Starline, who actually made the boat, basically put a press release out about the commissioning of the Titanic, the RMS. And this is what it says. It says, it is claimed that she will practically be unsinkable and absolutely unburnable. They made that statement for that boat. Now, as we know that history tells us that not only did the Titanic sink, it actually burned. I find it fascinating because as believers in Jesus Christ, we will never sink and we will never burn. Can somebody say amen? Because Jesus has the authority to not only give the commission, but he has authority to hold us through the end of the commission. Whereas the great Titanic, they couldn't. They could just build a boat and say it was not going to sink. Jesus has demonstrated by his power that we will not sink and we will not burn. The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Hudson Taylor said that. So think about this. A week after the resurrection, they're out there on this mountain. He's given them the plan. And right there in the middle of these verses, right there in the middle, it's the heart of what the message is. Disciples making disciples. Think about that. Here's the plan. Here's the purpose. Here's the reason why we exist. You're going to be hearing about that as we roll this out in the next couple of months. What is the purpose of us here? Love God, love others. How? Make disciples so they can go all the way around the world. And that's exciting. I find it interesting that Jesus is talking to these guys, and they're probably, you think about it, their Savior had was crucified and rose from the dead. Think about someone that has died and rose from the dead, and now they're telling you to go out into this world. Imagine what they were kind of going through. But he, because he could give the Great Commission, he gave them the power, he gave them the focus, he gave them the reason for them to go. So with that, I'd like to transition with, we have missionaries that were sent out a while ago that are still serving, that understand this Great Commission. So for the next 3 minutes or so, I want you to gaze towards the screens. You're going to look at the missionaries we have at River Lakes Church that have been raised up here that are still serving on the field today. Amen? So just take a couple minutes and gaze at them, pray, think about them, get reconnected with them. Because I really believe God wants us to be mindful of these guys, gals as well, but also to keep praying that his commission is still going until he comes back and takes us all home. Amen?
The starving artist. They're a dime a dozen. Insignificant. Odds are they're never going to get the big break they're hoping for. The NoHo Arts District in North Hollywood, California is full of these starving artists. Home to 20 live professional theaters, dance studios, art galleries, music venues, film, acting, and art schools, artists come from all over the world to NoHo pursuing their dreams. Although one of the more culturally and ethnically diverse areas in LA, many artists in NoHo do share something in common. They're out for themselves. This makes relationships suspicious. Every conversation might have an ulterior motive. Every handshake might be someone trying to pull ahead of you. The self-promotion and competition is extreme, and the odds of success are depressing. They've traveled from all over the world only to find out that they are insignificant. And it's no surprise that immorality, as a way of escape, runs rampant. To add to the despair, NoHo offers a spirituality that lacks any assurance of hope. Many so-called churches in the area deny any source of absolute truth. They promote whatever feels right to you is good. Your guess is as good as mine. So with nothing to live for except fading worldly pleasures, with no confidence that good news can actually be found, and with no one who truly cares about them, the rejected, starving artist in NoHo is hopeless. The people in North Hollywood need much more than a steady paycheck. They're starving for truth. They're starving for unconditional love. They need forgiveness and a way out. They're starving for hope. She needs the good news that only Jesus Christ offers. They need people speaking and living an unfamiliar message in the NoHo Arts District that says this: there is one who cares for you, and he offers a free gift to you at his own expense. They need people in their world to stand out as a beacon of truth in NoHo that says, we have something to live for besides ourselves. See that this insignificant, starving artist takes on a little more significance. They're not just one more person sitting on the side of the road with an open guitar case. They're a person desperate for hope in Jesus. The dime a dozen artist in the NoHo Arts District. Insignificant and dead in their own self-pursuits. And only in Jesus Christ will they find significance and life.
The greatest commandment plus the greatest commission equals what I call the greatest calling. In your bulletins, your outlines, you can take a look at that. The greatest callings. And I'm going to give you the answers up front. Here we go. Number one, in your last space, last section of your three spaces is to go with him. Second line under that is go with him. And what would be the third line? You guys are awesome. And this is what Jared Murray Beffer is really talking, what they've captured, that there's a world out there that is dying and aching, not for stuff, because they've had stuff and stuff doesn't help, dying and aching for Christ. And the church is here so that we can go sin and we can go reach and we can go touch into the darkness, because they have no hope other than Jesus himself. And so it's exciting that as we look at the greatest calling, Jesus again takes another group of people out to a mountaintop. And this is some 40 days after his resurrection in Acts 1:8. And he says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea, all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remote part of the earth. I think the key things out of that is, number one, we are God's witnesses. And he said, you will receive power, not what the world calls power, power from the inside out to take the message to the hopeless, to mend broken hearts, to heal broken lives. That's what the power of the gospel does. And he says, not only here in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, but just from across the street to around the world. And what's fascinating about this, you know, we talk about the second coming, but half the world, over half the world, has not even heard of the first coming. Oswald J. Smith said that. Some of us will be disguised as doctors. Some of us will be disguised as secretaries. Some of us will be disguised as moms and dads and janitors and teachers and healthcare workers, pastors and elders and lawyers and business people and janitors may be disguised in all these different ways, but we can still be a missionary for God. We can still go across the street and share that gospel to the people that may look like they have hope, but they really don't if they don't have Jesus. It says the mark of a great church is not in its seating capacity, but in its sending capacity. Mike Secure said that. And here, who can forget this great quote from Jim Elliot that says this: he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain which he cannot lose. The greatest journey of a lifetime begins in the presence of God. The greatest journey of a lifetime begins in the presence of God. Will we fulfill the calling? Be the greatest commandment given to the hardest people, I believe, at that time. Plus the greatest commission given to probably the most, they were struggling at that time. What they saw equals the greatest calling is given to us to go until Jesus returns. And it's fascinating that the application part is very simple. You got to line down the application is this. We need to know him more. We need to grow with him more. And we need to go with him more. One of the things, if we have the perspectives insert, I would like to show you something. We live in a crazy world. We need some training, need some understanding, need to know about cultures, need to know about languages. We have our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters here. It's really cool to sit there and to learn about their culture and their language. So if you're going to go into different cultures, you're going to have to know. And I think one of the best things we can do, one of the best things we can offer here at River Lakes, and we will be doing that on January 5th, so you can sign up now, is perspectives. And here's some, if we have the things on the screen, if not, there it is. Here's some statistics that they put together over the last couple of years of those that have gone through perspectives. Because what perspective does, it goes from Genesis to Revelation, just gives the whole counsel of God and what it means. God is a missionary God, and we are missionary people. So it says this, living strategically. What that basically means, when you go through that class, you start going, wait a minute, God has a purpose for my life. I need to live strategically, working with others. Up 31%. Long-term field service. Those are missionaries going over long-term. 19% of alumni. Local church giving. And I know those in finance, we all love to hear that one. Up 27%. Mission agency giving. Up 61%. One of the things perspective does, and if you don't know, there's a big world out there, and a lot of people don't know Jesus. So that goes up. Local involvement, getting involved in your community, up 23%. Mobilizing, working with other churches, breaking down the walls of denominations, up 21%. And how about this one? The frequent prayer. When we become aware of the greatest calling, the first thing we need to do is to pray, because there's a lot of stuff going on out there in this world that we need to pray about. And we need to be praying up and being ready to go. Right now, I'd like to, for last three to five years, we've been sending out missionaries, people going out on short-term missions. So if you've gone out on a short-term mission the last 3 to 5 years, please stand. Thank you very much. It's been awesome. And I tell you what, and short-term missions change your life. They will change your life to get you a chance to see what's going on. We also want to take some time to, since last February, we stood before you and said that we're going to actively participate in raising up people here in the body of River Lakes to send them out. And we've been doing that since last February. So, the newest missionaries we have, could you guys come on out from the back now? Yeah. How you doing?
Good.
You wonder all these people? These are our newest missionaries, serving missionaries now since last February. You guys can slide over towards the light. Don't be hiding, Joseph. He's hiding behind me. Let's give you guys a hand right up front. This is what we've been doing behind. Jared and Mary Beth Dragoon Cornerstone, North Hollywood, and their way down there. That was a video you just saw. These guys have been called out from, they were Silmar.
Simi Valley.
They've been called out to North Hollywood. Jared was our worship pastor here for how many years?
Five years.
And notice his hair is not pink now. It's the regular color. So I guess what's going on there. But Jared and Mary Beth are here, and we're so glad you guys are here. That's awesome. Bree Bonetti, where are you, Bree? Bree right there, she's with Inner Varsity. And where's that?
Santa Rosa,
God's other country. She's up there. That's awesome. And she's working with college?
Yes, sir.
College age. Don Urquhart, Crew Inner City, L.A.
David Urquhart?
David, sorry. David. Don is your dad.
I know Don.
Don. And Don... I'm looking at him and I see his dad. I work with his dad. It's like, nothing more. My son's sitting right there, so they get us confused too, so I don't know. He just has more hair. But David is crew in the city. We had a chance to take the youth group down there. High school's down last year. Ran into him down in L.A. And boy, what a need for people going on short-term missions in L.A. John Begaga, where are you? I love messing up your name. John is fun sports. He's here as well. And John works with the little kids. He would be like the FCA of the little kids. And he has an average of 600 to 800 kids on our campus twice a year. It's amazing. And a lot of them are unchurched. Praise God. Joseph and Jessica Bonora, and you guys, these used to be our youth pet. Where is Joseph? Joseph, where are you? Joseph, where? Oh, there he is. Joseph. Used to be our youth pet. They're down with Radius International just across the border. And Joseph decided to come up. You brought your whole family? Yeah, Joseph heard that we were having lunch afterwards, so he brought his whole family. So that was great. I like that. Then Brant Vanetti is, he can't be here because of his some commitments he had, but his sister is here. And then last but certainly not least is Jamie Hooker, Global Passion. She's a short-term mission coordinator. So let's give these guys a hand. These are our newest missionaries serving from River Lakes Community Church. You will have a chance after service to meet them, greet them, hug them, give them money, whatever they need. You will have a chance to do that, and they'll be out in the foyer after the next song here, okay? So thank you, guys. We had went on a missionary trip last weekend. We went down to Mexico, and I don't remember the kid's name, a little kid. We were going down to build houses with the Hands of Mercy. And we usually built a house right next to their previous house. And this family had a little house that was probably about 3 or 4 feet tall from the ground. And it had trash bags for the doors. And they would just kind of crawl and roll into their house. And it was a dirt floor. There was this little kid there. Had just the biggest smile on his face. I don't know what his name was, but I looked at him, he looked at me, and he went, ¿Cómo está? And I got down on one knee and I said, muy bien. And when I said muy bien, he came and hugged me. And when he hugged me, this plume of dust or dirt just kind of popped off of him. And then he moved his head back and looked at me with this biggest smile. This God just reminded me, short-term missions, long-term missions, whatever it is, it matters to people. And so easily, I know for me, I can get lost in the mountain's too big. I got too many things to do. But God reminded me on the smile of that young kid's face, it matters to God, and it mattered to that little kid. I don't know his name, but I'll never forget that smile. Thanks for worshiping with us today. I hope you get time to stop by the table and meet the missionaries that are going out. sign up for some trips that we have. They're coming. We've got a bunch of stuff that's going on. Get out there and meet these guys. I'm going to make sure I get everything. Say this with me. The greatest commandment is to know him. The greatest commission to grow with him equals the greatest calling. And that's to go with him. I'd like to thank the mission team and all those that put this together to make this time special today. And more importantly, I'd like to thank Jesus Christ for giving those three great keys for us. The journey of a lifetime begins in the presence of God. Let us fulfill that. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.